You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not to cover a newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee.
You know, I was thinking last night about Pearl Harbor and Roosevelt's speech. And that Pearl Harbor was a lot bigger than Pearl Harbor. And so I had that rattling around in my brain. I had probably three different friends call me and say, hey, you know, listen to that whole speech was cool. And I didn't think about it like that. You know, I think about it as Pearl Harbor, right? I don't think about that the whole Pacific blew up. And that you would have been sitting there that day wondering how in God's name did we and the Brits all miss, because the Brits, the other part of this is the Brits get absolutely hammered in this whole thing. I mean, the Brits are in Hong Kong, you know, and they have garrisons of thousands and thousands of thousands and thousands of British soldiers are ultimately captured by the Japanese and imprisoned and die in prison camps because they don't see this coming either. How did ships leave ports, right? Soldiers embark on ships. How did they miss all of that? So I'm kind of interested in that now. Right? That's not a small... That's not a small endeavor that the Japanese... undertook on December 7th. So normally, you know, there are signs. And so, let me say goodbye to Rihanna there, as much as I like her. Let's see. Hours after the Japanese pilots attacked Pearl Harbor and Oahu, Japanese forces attacked Guam and the Philippines, which were also U.S. possessions like Hawaii. Simultaneously, the Japanese attacked colonies in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Malaya. That's a lot of ships. That's a lot of guys getting on ships, and nobody notices it. So when you think about it, you know what they dealt with. I don't know who the head of intelligence was, but that had to be a lousy day for that dude. Roosevelt just staring at him, got his cigarette in his little cigarette holder, puffing his cigarettes, just staring at him going, are you kidding me? Like, what is, the entire Japanese army embarked on naval vessels and we didn't see that? There's no ships in any Japanese port. Anybody notice that? What are they doing over there, man? What are our spies doing besides nothing? Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, think about that. Think about the number of Japanese troops that had to be involved in those attacks, right? Hundreds of thousands. All right, to invade the Philippines? I mean, that's a shit ton, right? That's a shit ton of troops, right? The thing on Pearl Harbor, you could probably have disguised that as, you know, these ships going out to sea again as they had done previously during the summer. Okay? But these ships are gone. These ships are gone. And, oh, by the way, there was an endless stream of trucks and soldiers embarking from the following five ports. Like, how do you miss that? It's like us getting ready for Normandy and nobody noticing. The only question the Germans had was, where are they going? Because they sure as hell knew we were... Well, you know what? I take that back. They didn't know, right? Not sure how they didn't know. But Rommel wasn't around. He was in Germany. He was at home. So I'm puzzled. I'm puzzled by the scope of the Japanese attacks and the lack of some kind of red flare that got sent up saying, yeah, most of the Japanese army is embarking on ships. So anyway, the other thing I've been thinking about, or I was thinking about this morning as I was laying in bed reading Associated Press headlines, is, you know, my entire life, the Israelis and the Palestinians have been at war. Longer than my entire life. And I would venture to say long after I'm gone, they'll still be at war. So, I have a fairly low opinion of the State Department based on what I saw in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I don't hate them individually. I just think that, you know, they promote the status quo. And why don't we want to do this? Well, it would upset the peace process. Really? The peace process doesn't work in that part of the world. And now we're going to have 3 days of rage. Well, that's awesome. And you're going to kill yourselves. So I don't know if there will ever be a solution there. You know, the only solution is keep Israel strong and make sure that it can handle things that that come at them. And there you have it. But how do you deny Jerusalem as the capital of Israel? I mean, hello? And I guess Washington, D.C. is not the capital of the United States? I don't know. Yeah, other religions lay claim to it, too. Really? So we lay claim to Beijing, and so, anyway. I don't want to get into all that, but I don't know. I just, laying in bed, it's like, you know, my entire life, they will have been fighting in some way, shape, or form, you know, and with no end in even, not even on the horizon, no end over the horizon, no breakthrough, no mutual ground. You know, when you stand up and you hear the things people say about peace, you're like, this is not going to happen. Anyway, good for on those two notes. Yeah, but so I am intrigued. That got me to thinking. Like last night, my cousin Tom called me, and he goes, "Hey, you know, I listening to that. I didn't know that the Japanese had attacked that many places." And so you think about that. It's like the whole Japanese army mounts out, and Japanese Navy sails, and nobody gets told. Hey, just saw 180,000 trucks headed to this port. And they haven't come back in a week. Hello? That's not normal. All right? When you're going to test your amphibious shipping capability, that's not normal. All right. We're going to, we'll talk a little cooking today. Mike will join us. And we'll keep track of the world here, along with checking some news headlines here. So, good morning to you on a Friday, the 8th day of September, the year 2017. Hope you're having a good day, and I got a few interesting emails about the show yesterday, recommendations for the Navy. And you know what's interesting? I know I was talking to somebody who's in the Navy and is like, oh, you Marines love this, don't you? No, the answer is no. I think, truth be told, we have a friendly rivalry with them. Same thing with the Army, right? I mean, we say, you know, we'd really like to fight the Army, get this thing settled for once and for all. But we don't really mean it, I don't think. But we know why they don't let the Marine Corps have a football team. Exactly. We would be annihilating people. Yeah, can you imagine that? There's stories about, in fact, one of my dad's pitching coaches in Major League Baseball, a guy named Bill Fisher, he was telling me that he played on the All-Marine football team in the 50s in when he was stationed in Quantico. And the bowl there that was dug, a lot of it by hand, because they didn't have the money to build it. What do we need to do? All right, get them out there. Let's go, boys. So anyway, he told me a story about playing Holy Cross there. He said, you know, everybody lived on base. Nobody had a car. So, you know, when the football team played, you know, everybody came out. You had the officers and the senior staff NCOs sitting in the bleachers with their wives. The rest of us were all single. We're all sitting on the grass, or he was playing. He said the rest of them were all sitting on the grass with a brown bag next to him. But he said, you know, we had guys who were combat veterans from World War II and Korea that played. He said, we had a relatively rugged football team. You know, and Holy Cross college guys, come on. And they're college guys, right? And you have Marines looking at them and go, we're going to kick your ass. We're going to kick your ass. Oh, yeah, and we're also going to beat you in the football game, too. He said it was funny. And he said, but, you know, we had guys who were legitimately tough combat veteran guys, and we didn't lose. He said, and those guys came down, and then he said, I'll never forget the national anthem would play, right? And then right after that, the Marines hymn would play. And right after that, that's right, would go up. He said, and these guys were done. These guys were done. He said, if you could imagine all those Marines in that bowl screaming that war cry, he said, they looked around, and he said, we'd go out there and just help them. So anyway, in honor of them, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Yeah. Intelligence failure, you know, not just at Pearl Harbor. What is the book, At Dawn We Slept, I think, is devoted to that. And there's also another book called, what, Infamy, I think, that was devoted in part to that, telling that story. But the intelligence failure is so much bigger than Pearl Harbor. It's like, okay, you missed Pearl Harbor. In fact, I could give you Pearl Harbor, you know. At that time, Japanese fleet goes to sea. We have long-range reconnaissance aircraft. You know, whether you see them or don't see them is hit or miss. And, you know, they could be out operating in the North Pacific, blah, 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 blah. So you don't see them. But how an army embarks, how multiple armies embark on shipping and go, I don't, you know, where were they? Where were these soldiers? Were they already someplace? Were they already in China? Were they? I don't know. I don't know enough about the Japanese history to find out how they did that. But wow! I mean, think about it. That's a pretty big undertaking to attack Guam, the Philippines, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Malaya. Those are big, big, big undertaking. And they pulled it off. And again, you know, the Brits were no more prepared than we were. And they had been in that part of the world for a long, long time. So I'd be curious. We're going to, like, I need to find somebody who's written a book. Like, what happened? So on that note, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning. It is Friday. Good morning to you. Motivation. Then I got a question for you, kind of interesting little question somebody posed to me in an email here a minute ago.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Claudia and 40 in Quantico. Raining in 42 at Camp Lejeune. Texas got snow. Yeah. Reminds Mike of his roots in Minnesota. 29 degrees in Grand Bird, Texas this morning with partial sun. Montana. I don't know if this has ever happened. Montana's warmer than Texas. El Nino, end of the world is coming. That's right. Just in time, too, because it's jacked up. And this email tells to ask a question about that. Sunny and 40 in Big Timber, Montana. Sunny and 47 in 29 Palms. Sunny and 44 at Camp Pendleton. What in God's name is going on, man? Okinawa is cloudy, dark, and 61. Raucous last day on our temperature gauge. Clear, dark, and 49 in Raqqa. Marja, cloudy, dark, and 58. At your home for all marine radio. The Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area. A beautiful Southern California. Sunny and 53. I've got a couple emails. Mac, are you anywhere near the fires? No, I am not. Not too much brush around where I live. If you look to see where the fires are, it's either rural places or places where rich people live. Yeah, where there's a lot of brush around it, and it's just one of the natural things that happens in any place where it's dry. A few years ago when they had a huge, huge fire at Camp Pendleton, you know, it was interesting talking to our attitude was, you know, well, let's get all helicopters, let's knock this thing down. And the fire guys are like, no, let it burn. You know, you guys have plowed around your base camps, so it'll miss that. We have fire breaks to manage it, but we're just going to let it burn. It needs to. And that's how it, you know, but you have so much when you don't have a fire. And in some places they have these crazy laws about how much you can clear around your property in California, which is ridiculous in my opinion. And that's the issue relative to, their disking laws in California. And it prohibits people from clearing the land around their homes. You can clear to, I can't remember how many feet, but it's not your land, so you can't clear it. You can clear up to your property line. So anyway, that would create a buffer around these communities. And so, what you have is people, that live in rural areas are affected by it. You have wealthy people that build homes up in the mountains that are, you know, they have to build the infrastructure. They got to build the road to their home, and then, you know, they put it on top of this hill. You know, they drink out of their well water, all the rest of it. They have to run electricity up there, and so it's not easy to get those homes built. And then, you know, people start building them in those areas, but they're remote. And then when these fires start, that you can't get to them, and especially you get to them in time, So anyway, the fires are in Southern California, and red flag warning. So high winds with dry, dry, dry. You can feel the dryness in the air. For those of you that have been out here, but you can feel the dryness in the air when you get up in the morning. You can feel it in your skin. You can feel it in your nostrils. So anyway, thoughts and prayers to the people affected by it. And a lot of times a lot of times the pictures are so much worse. One of the brutal parts is if you're downwind from this, right? The embers that it carries. I was watching video of, I don't know if it was a trailer park or what, and the embers had floated in and started one residence on fire or something. In that community on fire, and because, you know, most of everything's built to code, right? So embers aren't going to start, you know, what do they start on fire? So they started something on fire, and then these, it looked like trailer homes are just right next to each other, and the way the wind gets blowing, once one of those flames get to a certain height and with the wind blowing, they jump to the next home, and it was just home after home after home. But you can see from the terrain and the dramatic shots that you've seen on TV in the mountains. I mean, there's absolutely nothing you can do. And that's what happened at Pendleton. The fire guy, and I remember driving home I was working at OneMap in current operations, and so we were tracking it, you know, where it is, you know, and the California Fire Department, CFD, and the Office of Emergency Management for the state, what they were saying and where it was going and how they were managing it. So I drove home up I-5. I was living in San Clemente at the time. And the fire was in the mountains east of I-5, right? Above Edson Range, above Las Flores, for those of you that are familiar with Camp Pendleton. And it was coming over those mountains at night, and it just looked incredible. Just so that orange flame coming over the mountain, the whole sky lit up by orange. And you just, wow, something you've never seen in your life, right? I mean, I've been around Camp Pendleton for a long, long time, never seen anything like that. But it's just the amount of fuel, just the amount of fuel. So the, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. We'll check the early bird. We'll check Marine Corps Times. Stars and Stripes. We'll even check that today. We'll see what Stars and Stripes has going. One other issue with these fires is even when they're out, they're not really out. And wind, right? Wind will fan them back up, take their embers and blow them around. And so more wind expected today and tomorrow, as these dry, dry conditions, exist. And I don't know, it's a high pressure system like over Utah or something like that. And then, and that pushes air from the desert towards the coast and there you have it. So there's your weather update here on a Friday morning, the 8th of December. So don't touch that dial. News headlines coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. It's 7:33 on a Friday. The Stray Cat Strut. What's that guy's name? Brian Seltzer or something like that? Anyway, we'll check the news headlines now. I don't know. Here's the email. Muses about a question. I heard you say a month or so ago that Trump is here to essentially deliver us from our evils by getting it all thrown out in the street. Well, if that's your analysis, you might be spot on, because it's all getting out there. The FBI out there now. The amazing thing will be if Congress is able to take a look, and these institutions have become this politicized, then I think we all need a good wash from the pressure washer, because it's pretty gross. Look, my opinion, Donald Trump is a big fat fuck you to Washington, D.C. And I think he sees himself in that fashion. And, you know, just his tweets about the FBI. The FBI's reputation is in tatters, shambles, something like that. Words to that effect. But don't worry, we will rebuild it. So, I mean, I think he sees himself. But I think the American people, I mean, I know. You know, talk to how dissatisfied people are with what they see. And is that getting, in the midst of the sexual harassment settlements, the sexual harassment resignations. We had another one last night, representative from Arizona, who evidently was asking women if they would, that worked for him, if they wanted to be, you know, his wife is having problems conceiving. Would you like to be a surrogate mother? What the hell? Really? So, yeah, so you got that going for you. And the, we're watching the FBI thing. And if you know, I kind of have a little bit of deja vu. And here's my deja vu. My deja vu is, I had these kind of, I was a teenager, but I had these kind of thoughts during Watergate. Like, that can't be true. Come on, that's crazy. I mean, the president just told us he's not a crook. Sure enough, he was a crook. He was a straight-up crook. And so you watch this, and the tale that those who defend the president would weave is the Democrats paid for this file, right? Somehow or the other, the FBI gets involved in it, right? And then did the FBI use that file to get the FISA warrant? Was it in any way, shape, or form utilized to get a FISA warrant to conduct surveillance on Paul Manafort? What? And that's the fuel for this investigation? Come on. But so, I mean, it gives me that because it keeps going. You keep learning more, and the more you learn. And I'll tell you what, the litmus test for me, I don't know, a guy who always comes across to me as measured is a guy named Trey Gowdy. He's a representative. I think he's from Texas. Pretty spot on. Former prosecutor. You know, he talks about we don't know, or yeah, this is this, or, you know, we're content to let somebody else do that. But when it's not right, he says it. And when you see guys like that saying, you know, this isn't right. It's not right. What's going on? Even the stupid among us. Even the stupid among us can figure that out. The, here's an email entitled Moto. You made me laugh out loud describing the football scenario. Yes, I can see the college boys pissing down both pant legs. I hope you caught the news of an associate director of the FBI was demoted for meeting with Chris Steele. No, he's not an FBI guy. He's a Justice Department guy. Christopher Steele and Fusion GPS guy without the knowledge of his bosses. The stink is getting stronger. That's my sensation. Again, without having read the email, that's my sensation, too. It's like, you don't want to believe this. And look, there's a lot of Marines in the FBI. Yeah, we have our own little pipeline. We're on the same campus in Quantico. And so there's a lot of Marines in, you know, ask FBI agents about the Marine Corps Mafia inside the FBI. It's not small. Robert Mueller, former Marine. All right. And so the Moto thing is funny, though, isn't it? Yeah, you can imagine back in the day, I mean, Sunday, they plan on Saturday or Sunday. So everybody's either sleeping it off or getting ready to tie it back on or some process in between. And, you got Marines who have nothing else to do and on base. So they're going to go watch a football game. he said, how intimidating that was for college kids. And he said, you know, we'd shake hands afterwards and we'd kind of give them a tough time, but we'd take pictures with them and things like that. Cause they were, coming down to play in Quantico, they had all heard about it. You better have your helmet. Yeah, you better have your helmet on tight today, boys. And so they were joking like, what is that scream that goes up after the Marines hit him? And they said, oh, yeah, that's us, man. And they said, that was pretty intimidating. We're not going to lie, that was pretty intimidating. But can you imagine, you're a college football player. You've never been, in that environment before. And you see all these Marines standing like ramrod straight attention in that bowl at Quantico. And then at the end of it, you hear this scream. Like, kickoff team, you ready? Like, not really. Can we have a little bit of time to compose ourselves? Right. And you know, and Bill Fisher told me, he said, we would have guys smoking, like, before, the, you know, on the field before the warm-up. Like, college guys running by. These guys are World War II in Korea, but smoking. What's going on, boys? You guys know you're going to get your asses kicked today, don't you? Oh, my God. No, he had me laughing, Bill Fisher. Yeah, he was in the Marine Corps, played baseball and football here. And, no, this, again, I think the average people, the average person, again, no matter which way you lean, you know, you want to talk about sexual harassment and what Congress has tolerated within its own ranks? What is that? Sexual assault? What they've tolerated within their own ranks? And again, these are just the stories. Again, my Bill Clinton story. Okay, Bill Clinton's friends sitting around after he gets done with being a president, and they're sitting around drinking. Who's that guy? Vernon Davis was his buddy? God, you know, hey, if they got that pissed at Monica Lewinsky, could you imagine if they would have found out about XYZ? Oh, they would have lost their minds. Clinton, you know, you're such a total ass bag. Like, what the hell? You're like, oh, man, I can't even believe I did that. Like, yeah, that was stupid. Yeah, that's what you know about. I mean, so the things we know about, right, in Congress, what about the women that won't come forward? What about the things that are buried, that people hope stay buried? Yeah. So, again, I don't care whatever way, you know, Washington, D.C. needs a bit of a pressure wash. And you don't have the right when you work in the Justice Department or the FBI or the Marine Corps to be, like we were talking yesterday about, you know, you know, after an election, you know, Bush loses to Clinton. I'm not putting that picture up. Can't have that, boys. Can't have that. And so, you know, and that he's not my president stuff. Yeah, he is. And don't ever let me hear that come out of your mouth again. Or the next thing that's going to happen is you're going to be standing in front of me in a very, very formal way. We don't do it like that. And so, I mean, you have to stand up for that. And again, in a world that there's fewer and fewer consequences for people that break rules and things like that, I mean, could you imagine the shock of, what was the girl's name? Winter something? That copied some NSA document and she sent it to somebody and they quickly, like, did searches on where this document had been downloaded and then they looked in the printer and they found that it had been copied in that printer. And then they arrested her. She's still in jail. They won't release her on bail. Was that worth it to do this to your life? Maybe it was. Was it? Do you think it is to sit in jail and rot like that? Because you hated, you know. But again, it's this game of there are no real consequences. You know. Oh yeah, I might get yelled at, and then all of a sudden somebody really holds me accountable. And it's one of the things I think institutionally that the Navy struggles with, the Marine Corps struggles with, is we are, this is a generation of parents that don't like to hold their kids accountable. It's a generation of parents, wait, did I say kids who hold their kids? It's a generation of parents who want to make it easy for their kids, who, you know, you have the helicopter, the advent of the helicopter parent here in the last 20 years. Well, those people go to work. And if they work in the Marine Corps or the Navy, do they bring that same bias for making it easy? You know, force preservation boards tell me the Marine Corps, you know, is not comfortable booting people out and, you know, and doesn't trust commanders. And so we're going to convene this board in order to review what you're doing as a commander. I never not comfortable with the whole concept of it. And the whole premise is with greater oversight and getting, you know, these people, we can. Nah, are you kidding me? The every one of the cases that I would see, my solution was get them out of the Marine Corps. Get her out of the Marine Corps. Alcoholic, depression, but stop, out. We don't have time for it. It's a waste of our time. Somebody, it's not, that, they're not a waste of an effort, but somebody else needs to provide that effort because we're supposed to be doing other things. We aren't, but again, Bleeding Heart organization, you know. And again, you think back to General Barrow opened the gate and said, get him out of here. Get him out of here. And I love Barney Barnum's, he was a staff second, 2nd Marine Division. When the Marine Corps in the late 70s, General Barrow said, get him out of here. If it's just me, the sergeant major, my driver, and one other, then that's fine. There'll be a fire team in the Marine Corps. But get them out of here. The racists, the druggies, we're done with this. And so, I mean, that rinsing, that pressure washing, I mean, needs to be internalized. Weak commanders, weak master chiefs, weak sergeant majors, get them the hell out. We need tough, hard people that aren't afraid to enforce discipline, because I would argue that that younger people today need more structure than ever before. They don't need less. They don't function well with less. So you allowing, you not inspecting field day in the barracks on Friday morning, them not doing it Thursday night, you not inspecting them on a regular basis, that's not what they need. They need that. Because they come from a culture that doesn't believe in that. Nobody gets flunked. Now, being flunked, that's just a reconciliation that we were tracking your progress. You didn't make sufficient progress. You have some kind of learning, either learning disability or behavioral issue that means that you can't continue. But now what do they do? No, you know, that'll screw them up mentally. Just keep passing them along. And you'll leave our institution someday, mercifully. Until then, we're just providing daycare. We allow you to come here every day, and maybe that's a good thing, and we provide daycare services for your family while you disrupt everybody else's learning. That's the way this is. So we're here to serve you. We require nothing from you. I don't know. It's just when you think about it. And so you think of the people that allow that makes sense to. And that creeps into institutions like the Navy, the Marine Corps. It creeps into your local police department. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy shit. And how can it not creep into, you know, everything's okay in the Justice Department. Well, yeah, I took an oath, but come on. You know? Leaking? Yeah, that's okay. I can do it. Come on. What the hell? All right, let me news headlines. Marine Corps Times. U.S. forces in Afghanistan after Jerusalem announcement. And we have Marines, Fast Company Marines, ready to deploy at a moment's notice. So we got that going on. Trump lawyers request delay in January 1 deadline for transgender military recruits. This is kind of an interesting little story because the Secretary of Defense has taken a little bit different tack than the President of the United States. Okay, and the President left latitude for the Secretary of Defense. And the Secretary of Defense used it. So there's an ongoing study. Anyway, the Trump administration has filed a last-minute appeal to delay transgender recruits from joining the military. Despite recent federal court rulings that the Pentagon must be ready to receive new troops on January 1, quote, the military will not be adequately prepared to begin processing transgender applicants for military service by January 1, 2018, and requiring the military to do so may negatively impact military readiness, according to attorneys for the president. The Pentagon has been working to prepare to receive the new recruits by the January 1 deadline and has been ready to do so for months, advocates for transgender forces say. Of course they'd say that. Quote, the administration is not telling the truth, said Aaron Belkin, director of the Palm Center, a research center that works on gay, lesbian, and transgender causes. Quote, the military has already done most of the work to lift the ban by the presidential transition. It certainly is ready to make the change now. The Palm Center estimates that there are 12,800 transgender forces serving in the military, and in recent weeks has gathered statements of support from former service secretaries that they be allowed to continue serving. All right, we'll see. I'm just curious what the DOD study comes out and says. Again, I think that, again, the issue is, can they be a widget? And if they're not a widget, how do they serve? If they need hormone therapy in Afghanistan, in the Helmand province, and they can't get to it, you're adversely impacting them physiologically, how do they serve? Right? Diabetics don't serve. North Korea says war is inevitable as the United States and South Korea continue exercises in South Korea. The VA reversed its own course. Says it won't alter its homeless program for veterans. For the first time since 2010, homelessness among veterans is up. Army-Navy game is on Saturday, tomorrow. Russia is attempting to join the battle against the Islamic State in Iraq. Now that the battle in Syria is over, we'll see how the Iraqis play that. Because again, one of the things that we've talked about on this program is now we fought again to eject ISIS out of Iraq and also out of Syria. And that gives the Iraqis a chance to once again create something in the post-Saddam Hussein world. Okay, so the United States has come in and essentially given them material assistance to do that. How does this work? The Iranians have not only infiltrated but taken over parts of the Iraqi army. The Kurds continue to sit up there in the north. What does post Saddam version 2 Iraq look like? Russia says it started talking with the United States about helping to destroy the remnants of the Islamic State in western Iraq. The comments from a Russian defense official come as Russia claims that ISIS has been defeated in Syria, but U.S. officials say there are still several thousand ISIS fighters remaining and still plenty of work for U.S.-backed fighters to do in the region to finish off and defeat ISIS. We are ready to hold dialogue and join American counterparts in solving the issue in Iraq. Anyway, so the Russians doing what they do, which is never, never good. All right. Top five stories in the early bird. One, Congress avoids a government shutdown at least for two more weeks. That's one. Two, U.S. forces in Afghanistan are on alert after the Jerusalem announcement. Three, Brexit breakthrough. Yeah. Deal paves the way for future talks in the UK. So congratulations. It wasn't the end of the world. And this, we'll have to get Grant Newsham on to talk about this, but Japan to buy long-range missiles for the first time. How about that? Yeah, I think the Japanese ought to have their own nuclear weapons. Let's sell them to them. Send a training team over and say, okay, here's the briefcase. If you think you're threatened, go ahead and let it rip on North Korea. Quote, we will implement standoff missiles capable of defending ourselves adequately when we are outside the range of an opponent in order to ensure the safety of the self-defense force and to defend our nation effectively. Defense Minister Itsunari Onodera said. Sorry, I'm not, my Japanese names, I'm not effective on those. A spokesman for his office said Japan will be purchasing two types of missiles, long-range anti-ship missiles and joint air-to-surface standoff missiles from Lockheed Martin to buy for its F-15 fighter jets. It will also buy joint strike missiles from a Norwegian company to be deployed on new state-of-the-art F-35 stealth fighters, which are just joining the Japanese air self-defense fleet. Although Onodera did not mention North Korea by name in the announcement, Pyongyang's fast-progressing nuclear and missile programs have had Japan and other countries in East Asia on edge, blah, 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 blah. So it's good to see. Japanese should rearm. They should come back and become part of the League of Grown-Up Nations. World War II is 76 years in the rearview mirror from its origin, and 72 years in the rearview mirror from its conclusion. So it's time for us to get over that. Japan has been a functioning, thriving democracy on the world stage for many years, and it's time for them to pull their weight militarily. And then the fifth story in the early bird is the transgender story. Let me see if there's any Marine Corps stories. One about tech-savvy Marines harnessing da-da-da-da-da. I'll tell you what, interesting story in Stars and Stripes. The USS Ward, which is the destroyer that fired the first shot of World War II for the United States, has been located off the coast of the Philippines where it was sunk later in the war. The USS Ward, on 1 December, I'm sorry, during the early morning hours of December 7th, the destroyer was on patrol at the entrance of Pearl Harbor. Just after 6:30, the officer of the deck spotted the periscope of a Japanese 80-foot midget submarine trailing the cargo ship USS Antares into the harbor, which was home of the Pacific Fleet. The Ward fired on the sub and dropped several depth charges. "We have attacked, fired upon, and dropped depth charges on a submarine operating in the defensive sea areas," the Ward's commander radioed a few minutes after the sub rolled over. Nice work, boys. That's right, that's how the officer of the deck is supposed to act. The submarine was sunk almost 2 hours before the first wave of Japanese fighters and bombers attacked the island of Oahu and decimated the Pacific Fleet's battleship row. 3 years later, to the day, how about that? 3 years later, to the day, on December 7th, 1944, the Ward was attacked near Lady Gulf by several Japanese kamikazes loaded with explosives. One slammed into the ship's hull, igniting a fire that could not be contained. The crew was ordered to abandon ship, and the Ward was intentionally sunk by a fellow naval ship. How about that? Located on November 30th, 2017, identified on December 1st. So there you have it, the rest of the story. All right, we're going to take a break. Hold on. I always like to, there's one more place I like to check for stories, and that is Task and Purpose. If you don't know it, it's a pretty nice website. And often has marine content. So anyway, nothing in there that I would offer you this morning. All right, we'll take a break. The All Marine Radio head chef's going to join us here momentarily. So don't touch that dial. We'll talk a little bit of food on a Friday, and. Here's one more email about football games. You know, Mac, you probably have met a few of them, but the inter-service rivalries back in those days when everybody served were huge. You had some pretty big time football and baseball players in the services, And there would be huge bets wagered by generals as different bases took each other on. Pretty interesting if you Google that kind of stuff and to see some of the guys that played benefit games and things like that while they were on active duty. No, it was, I'll tell you what, that stuff was huge. You know, those base teams, that was huge. And most of the guys that played on them were professionals. So, no, it was, you know, no small part of, the culture at the time. The base football team, the base basketball team, the base baseball team. My dad played. That's what my dad did. He'd get on a truck. He'd be with his unit. He was a grunt. And when they'd be out doing stuff at Fort Lewis, he's with the 2nd Infantry Division. And when the truck would come out to bring chow, and they'd stop and eat, because the Army does that, he'd get on the truck and he'd go back for baseball practice. Yeah, a guy saw him in a supermarket like years later, and he walks up to me and goes, "Your name's McNamara, isn't it?" And my dad said, "Yeah." He said, "Do I know you?" And he said, "No." He said, "But I was in your company at Fort Lewis, and I used to hate your ass. I'd see you get on that chow truck every day and go back for baseball practice. I used to hate you." How about that? Nice. Well, I hope you don't hate me now. I don't know if the guy was big or what, but anyway. No, it's a big part of history. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Friday, December 8th, the day after my birthday. The first day of my 61st year on the planet. And just another day in the Arab-Israeli war will it go on forever? Will anything ever stop this? I don't know. Now we're going to have days of rage so that more Palestinians can get killed. For what? Good question. You know, and again, while you see the leaders of the Palestinians rolling around in their Armani suits and whatnot, and you see the people in the street getting killed again. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global Soft Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global Soft Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the soft community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure.
I'm 9 minutes after 8 on a Friday here on the West Coast. Joining me is none other than a man who needs no introduction on this program anyway. The one, the only, P. Kimball Holmes, otherwise known as the All Marine Radio Head Chef. Chef? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mac.
Good morning to you, bro. What is up?
Happy day after your birthday.
Yeah, 60 years old. How about that?
Yeah, baby. You're in your wheelhouse now.
Yeah, that's where I am. I don't know, man. I'm playing on the, as my dad used to say, you're playing on the back nine now, my friend.
No.
No, I think so.
I'm well into the back nine. You haven't hit it yet.
You
might be at the turn.
No. The turn, if I get to 120, I hope that doesn't happen. Okay?
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
You're going to make it.
120? There you go. No, what the hell? I have a daughter graduating in 3 years from high school, so I've got to stick around for a while. Hey, I want to ask you, one of the sensations I've had watching all this stuff in the nation's capital is it kind of takes me back a little bit to Watergate in that, you know, you think you're scratching your head, now the conduct of the FBI is being called into question, and you see guys getting removed from positions for conflicts of interest, and you're like, what? And it just takes me back to Watergate when you heard Nixon say, you know, I'm not a crook. It's like, nah, the president's not going to be involved in that. And it's like, wait a minute, the president is involved in that? And so I don't know, maybe every, how many years ago was that? 70, would have been close to.
It was almost, 72.
So
it was just before his start of his second term.
So what is that, 45 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know. My math could be off. But okay, 70, that would be 30 and 17, that's 47. And then subtract to 45. So 45 years ago, essentially. But it was just Nixon, even if you didn't agree with him and his policies, the stuff that was being, the theories that Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein and, you know, that were putting out there was like, come on, the president would be involved in that and then lie about it. And bigger than Scott, I mean, he was. And now, I mean, to me, you know, like in the last week, the stuff that has come out about the FBI, the guy getting removed and whatnot, it's like that's not supposed to be the way that stuff works, man. You're supposed to, when you take an oath to the nation, that's supposed to be a big deal. And if you want to be a political person, resign and run for office. But you can't be in the Justice Department, the FBI, and running your own little thing. So I don't know. It just, I guess maybe the sentiment is being disillusioned about your own government. And I don't know. I just found some sentiment of that in me rolling around. Kim's a liberal, so he would feel that for different reasons. But I don't know. I just felt that watching, like, is there, and then that's before we even get to the whole sexual harassment, people resigning left and right. I saw a report, there's as many as, well, it'd be 39 now, but as many as 40, estimated 40 members of Congress that may resign in the coming weeks because of some sort of sexual harassment.
I guess that's too intellectual for me. When I look at that, I when I get done giggling and laughing about it, here you are, you're in a position of authority, you're making more money than you ever thought. You would think that you wouldn't have to troll women or boys, for sexual flavors.
Or favors. Yeah.
And I look back on it and I say, so what's changed? Nothing.
Well, do you remember the scandal with the pages in, I don't know when that was, 70s, 80s, when,
Yes, the young pages were being,
they were being assaulted. Arrested. Yeah. And these kids
assaulted. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, these kids go from high school to Capitol Hill to work for the summer, and they're descended upon by the members of Congress.
Yeah,
and their staff. It's like, are you kidding me? But that's the way it was. So I don't know. It seems like every 45 years, or probably too long.
It probably happens every year, Mac.
I know, but you need to get them. You need
it's
to get
happening everywhere since.
You need
but
to,
now somebody stepped in a big pile of it, just what can you say? I kind of am speechless about the whole thing anymore. Just as I am about starting the
the conflicts that we've started or gotten involved in. You know, it's just
lame.
Just that's living in our times. I see president assassinated, one attempted assassination, two with it keeps coming nobody's stepping to the plate and saying, hey, there's enough of this shit.
Yeah, but you know what, Kim? To me, the thing about in terms of nobody stepping to the plate, it's the same money and the same organizations that are bringing you the next person, right? So,
well, yes, of course.
It's like you and me standing on different sides of the stage, and the spotlight keeps going back and forth. It's my it's my pipeline. It's my money. It's my stable of stars. And now, from Mac's team, blah. Well, it's still Mac's team. Nothing changing. Just a face. Same money went and got that guy. Same money bought that guy or girl. And now we're going to trot him out there for you. So, anyway. The, let's see, what else? You live up in the area that Al Franken, what's the conversation about Al Franken amongst you live on the Minnesota North Dakota border? Is there anybody reacting?
In fact, he had eaten Sanders a couple of times.
Oh, so you know him, your personal friend, your boys?
I am not a personal friend of his. He hardly gave me the time of day.
Oh, really?
Than saying, nice prime rib, I'd like it.
That was it?
That's about it. And so, those cats are the only ones that I got to know were Dorgan, Conrad, Pomeroy, Heidkamp.
Those are the North. Coven, those are the North Dakota. Those are all North Dakota people. That's why nobody recognizes the name.
Yeah, but Colin Peterson. His district on the east side, but he's a Democrat too. But you know, I just think they look at Franken and say, "Well, he stepped to the plate, bowed out. I guess that's Minnesota nice." I heard somebody say on the news last night.
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, come on, it's just stupid. It's Minnesota stupid if you're going to be that.
No, I don't think way. I'll give you my analysis of it. There must be other things out there that we don't know about, okay? And so.
What, with Franken?
Yeah.
With Franken, you mean?
Yeah, with Franken.
Yeah.
So, because he could certainly mount his defense saying, I've done nothing since I've been elected. I'm happy to stand before the ethics committee. I will accept whatever, you know, punishment, and I'll do my best. But I'm not quitting, you know. But Minnesota is controlled by a Democratic governor who will.
Yeah.
And it's a strong Democratic state. So I think the leadership of the Senate.
Who voted for Trump last year?
I think that people that are looking at that are saying, look, you know, we're going to get another Democrat here. We're not going to get a Republican senator from Minnesota. So if Franken goes away, really, we'll swap a name, but it's no big deal. Okay, and so I think it's more political game playing. That again, nobody's doing it because it's the right thing to do. They're doing it because it doesn't alter the political landscape, and Franken's a liability right now. And so,
yes.
And again, you've seen that tune change. What? It'll be 2 weeks this Sunday that Nancy Pelosi was saying that John Conyers deserves due process, and
that he's an icon in Congress.
Yeah, then the following Thursday she said, yeah, he's got to go. What happened to due process? Oh, well, he got his due process, and besides, I have too many people screaming at me. But the bottom line is this: we can get rid of Conyers. We have a Democratic governor in the state of Michigan, and we'll get another Democrat appointed until we get one elected. And I think the Republicans are playing the same game down in Alabama. We don't want to lose a seat that we own in Alabama. We own that. That's a Republican seat. So, look, we're more than happy if Moore gets elected, and we won't go down and, like, take pictures with him, but we'll say that he's a better alternative. We'll hope he gets elected. When he gets elected, we'll hold an investigation. If we find the accusations credible and there's evidence to support him, then we'll say that he's got to resign. And then Alabama's Republican governor will send us another Republican, and, you know, politics continue. And so it's more of the same. It's not about the truth. It's not about what's right. Politics trumps all. And so it goes. It's tremendously disappointing, but I don't know. Are we naive to think that they would behave in some other way? And I guess the answer to that is yeah.
You would hope they would, but, that's a long shot.
Yeah. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
We haven't been for years. Pretty much my whole lifetime.
You know, I was talking about that. I was talking about that. Your whole lifetime and my whole lifetime, the Palestinians, right, and the Israelis will be at war.
At war.
Yeah. Imagine that. I was thinking about that this morning. My whole lifetime, they have been fighting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was listening to you the first hour, and you made a comment about that. That you've known nothing but conflict your whole life, and same for me.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
I was born in '44, and not much shit has changed.
No, they go to war periodically, right?
They need to, you know, they need to sell guns and do all that stuff.
Right. So
that's showbiz, baby.
That's right. That's right.
No sense scratching your head and saying, geez, I never saw that coming. Are you kidding me? That's all it is coming. And it's all it's going to be that way my whole life.
Yeah.
And probably yours and your kids.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so to me, yeah. You know, oh, yeah, let's all get worried about Jerusalem, the United States declaring Jerusalem the capital. Come on, man. They're going to fight anyway. It's not like that peace process. It was funny because I saw, you know, they ran the video clips of Clinton, Congress votes 93 to whatever, or 95 to 5. And what else? Clinton, they had Obama, they had Bush all making the same statements. And then they said, well, why didn't they do it? And they said, well, the State Department argues it would upset the peace process. It would upset the peace process. Right? It's laughable. Like, so we've been doing this for 22 years. Yeah. Okay, that's not, I don't know who's in charge of that peace process, but that person.
I tell you who's in charge of this current effort is that Sheldon Adelson, the casino owner in Vegas, who dropped about $35 million into Trump's pocket during the election, and he wants Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. And I think that's a political payback, because that's what Trump has been saying up to the election, and that was one of his campaign promises. He was going to put Jerusalem in the capital of Israel. Well, it's happened. There he goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I told you.
He fulfilled his obligation to Sheldon Adelson.
There you go. Quid pro quo, just like the Clinton, just like the Clinton Foundation.
You know, it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's all the same shit. I mean, I don't care who you are. Or who you're for. I'm at the point now where it's not a political party. It's just the people with and the people without. And we're the people without. and the rest of us suck kind tit.
Yeah, I a little bit disillusioned the last two, well, a week ago it was because of the verdict in San Francisco that guy, you know, was allowed.
Yeah.
He walked out of that courtroom being found.
He got to walk.
Yeah, and then they charged him with first degree murder, for God's sakes. It's like, my God, really? Are we that stupid that, you know,
he's going to get deported and then get to sneak back in again, I'm sure.
Well, the last I saw of that story was federal authorities were waiting to pick him up, and he is going to be charged with federal crimes. And I'm not sure how well he's going to fare with a federal prosecutor and federal jury. So.
Hopefully he doesn't fare well at all.
Yeah. I just don't. The whole sanctuary city thing is I don't know in a nation. I read about it, how nations, you know, aren't required to do the federal government's bidding, that the federal government has to decide which laws it enforces. But historically they have been cooperative. And so what you're seeing is the end of cooperation, and it goes the way to how the democracy was founded, blah, 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 and who enforces what and who could be required to and compelled to enforce what. Yada, yada, yada. So, anyway. All right. I've got a food question. Mac.
What do you do? What the hell is food?
Yeah, exactly. Mac.
I didn't know you were talking about food today.
I have a question about grilling fish. I always seem to have trouble with it, whether the skin sticks to the grill, whether the fish comes apart. Is there a secret to grilling fish that I don't know about so that I can serve it well? The best results I've had is when I put it in a foil boat and I can simply put it on and take it off. And then on a separate question, there are some fish that are more substantive than others, like shark. Is it appropriate to flip fish like that? Others I know, like salmon, like I know you're a fan of a walleye, there's no way to really flip that fish. So talk to me about
unless
fish.
Unless you're cooking it like walleye or salmon, if you're cooking it with the skin on one side or the skin off completely on both sides, well, you know, the middle part is where the bones were, but you fillet the fish, and then if you want to take the skin off, you hold the tail, and you
okay. Hold on. I don't want to get into skinning the fish. I want you to focus on this, and then we'll broaden the question out.
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry.
No. That's all right. That's all right.
But cooking the fish
on a grill,
the foil boat is probably the best. Now, what I did the other day was I took parchment paper and I put some halibut in the parchment paper. I put it on sliced lemons with some salt and pepper, a little olive oil and onions. And then I folded the parchment paper over and like made it, crimp the edges and sealed it. And then bake it in the oven. But as far as grilling goes, the best way to do it is you can wrap it in foil and throw it on there. And then with a little moisture like lemons or whatever, and then steam it. And that's really good.
Hold on. So you put it on top of the grill, and then what do you mean?
Yeah.
You close the lid of the grill and allow it to.
No. Well, you close the lid of the grill, but you take the foil, you make a boat.
Oh.
You want it totally sealed. You want the fish totally sealed.
So we don't make a boat. We make a submarine.
Yeah. Right on.
Hey man, you forget what radio station you're on. Boat means something to us. But we don't, as you said, we don't need a periscope though, right?
No, you don't need an aircraft carrier. You need a submarine, and you seal it, and that creates a little steam thing, and you can put it right over the heat, but it doesn't take a lot of time. Could be 5 minutes, depending on the size of the fillet, or if it's a whole fish. I have taken whole salmon, and I have sealed it like a submarine, and I've with the skin on, and then I have taken the cavity and stuffed it with herbs, lemons, garlic, a little olive oil, rub on the out on the skin, and then seal it tight, and then you put it on the grill on one side, and then you roll it over and flip it to the other side. You know, do, and I'm talking about a 10 to 12 pound salmon, which is about 12 to 16 inches long. So that depends on how fat that fish is. But basically, you can cook the whole fish like that, or if you're
okay, hold on. Okay, so let me ask you a basic question.
Yes.
Turning fish over, except for things like shark, is forbidden, correct?
I would say so, unless the grill is, the grate is well oiled, the fish is oiled, and you cook it with the skin side down, and say, let's take an example. We have a piece of salmon or halibut, and it's kind of like a square.
Yeah.
And then you just roll it. You gently roll it, and it's a minute or two, and then you roll it again. You can't roll it too fast because then it'll stick to the grate.
Yeah, I'm against that. I think that's a disaster waiting to happen. Why do you need to do that? I think that if you just shut the lid of your grill, you're going to get enough heat that stays in that even the top won't be that rare. And so I think that's a big risk to take with something. Now,
well,
again, shark. What's the most firm fish that you eat?
That I don't eat shark, period.
Okay.
Because if it's, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, because they're too violent.
I would say probably swordfish is the firmest fish that you can cook. Halibut is a little, halibut and salmon are about the same.
Okay.
Any white fish, like sea bass or walleye, you don't need to flip them, and you cook them skin side down.
Right.
You want the skin side.
Okay, so just for the record, you don't really believe in flipping fish no matter what it is?
Not if you're cooking it on a grill. You throw your lid down and be done with it.
Yeah, okay.
And
I agree.
It's only going to take anywhere from, depending on the thickness, from 3 to 8 minutes to cook a piece of fish. So,
right. And you know what? The other thing is that if you don't need to leave it over the direct heat the whole time. You could slow cook it. And with the lid down and you slow cook it, then the top is going to cook more.
Yes.
If you absolutely positively hate rare fish, okay, if you do that. And so, to me, you know, a little bit of rare on top, You know, the bottoms, you know, the bottom might be medium and the top, you know, a little bit rare, but that, nothing wrong with that. That's good.
Medium rare. That's, yeah. That, and especially if you pull your lid down and just leave it down for a few minutes. But you can put it, you have the one burner on high. And then the burner that's beside the high one, it will be warm. You preheat your burner, but you can lay the fish right on there, skin side down, and it'll still cook evenly, probably more evenly than if you put it on the direct heat.
Okay. All right. So, so to answer the question, we are anti-flip fishing, or fish flipping.
Yes.
And if you feel like you need to do that, you can sear it on high heat if you want to move it to indirect heat, put the lid down and it'll slow cook, and that the lid being down will make sure the heat stays in, and you won't, if you're anti rare fish, it'll get the top of it so it's a medium rare, and boom, you're in the front row.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right, here's another one. Mac, I had similar thoughts earlier in the week about this being reminiscent of Watergate. What I think is being reminiscent is that things you grew up thinking were one way, right? All of a sudden you start finding out that J. Edgar Hoover was rolling around D.C. in a dress. And that's not exactly how he pictured America's crime buster. And then what came out about him later, about his private files and the way he used them, was certainly disillusioning. And I think I felt that sentiment earlier this week. Interesting. I don't want to belabor the point because I have a food question. Could the chef talk about how to make great baked potatoes? I love baked potatoes because they taste great and they take not very much work. But I'd be curious to know if he has any pointers for the rest of us on how to make great baked potatoes. I agree with that. Baked potatoes, you can have a fine dining experience with a baked potato, and it doesn't take anything to do.
It's awesome. And it's very good for you, too.
Especially once you put all that butter and sour cream on it.
And don't forget the chives and chopped bacon.
That's
if
right,
we're gonna make a deal, baby. We're going a full tilt boogie.
Yeah. We don't. Yeah, we don't need to half ass a baked potato.
No, hell no. Okay, here's the skinny to my baked potatoes.
All right.
I rub them in olive oil. You take a paring knife. You poke a hole in each end. That lets the steam out, and so it doesn't explode in your oven.
So I don't have to take a fork and poke it all over the place?
No. You just got to put a couple of paring knife holes in the end.
I like that.
In each end. That'll do it. If you like to fork it all over, just fork away. But
I never
do that.
I don't like a fork.
Okay?
I don't like a fork.
Okay. Now, you do, you rub it with oil and then kosher salt. And then you throw it in a preheated oven. And you can cook it on a baking sheet or just sit it on the rack with a baking sheet underneath, a piece of foil underneath the rack. So any drippings won't go down and hit your oven, deck.
Okay.
Follow me?
Not really, because I've never really had drippings from a baked potato, but whatever. It's all right.
Well, that's because, you just rub it with oil. And put salt on it. And it makes the skin. I love baked potato skins.
Right.
And so I always eat the skin as well as the inside of the potato. But unless you,
you said,
dress it that
hold on,
way.
Hold on. You said salt. You told me before kosher salt.
Kosher salt, yeah. Kosher salt, yeah. It's just a little heavier green than just regular salt, you know.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's very good too.
Just, like Morton's salt.
Yeah, just for the record, it's very good.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about cooking temperature and cooking length. How hot is the oven and
I would preheat the oven at.
Oh my God.
I would preheat the oven to 450 degrees. And when it's preheated, then you throw your baked potato in.
Yeah.
And depending on the size of your baked potato, it could be anywhere from 40 to 60 minutes. Now, we usually had at Sanders almost a pound of potato, 8 to 12, 14-ounce potatoes.
Oh, those are big. Those are big. Those are big spuds.
Yes, sir, they are. But it's you have to have a big spud to hold all the trimmings.
Oh, because that's what we're setting up. We're setting the decoration of that big spud.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense from a restaurateur point of view. So let me ask you this. But most families, I would say, people watching their weight. They may not want the Gigantor spud. So what's the time frame on a big spud? What's the time frame on a medium spud?
I'd say an hour for a big spud, 45 to 50 minutes for a not so big spud.
Okay, as I'm checking my spud, how will I know?
You take a paring knife.
Yeah.
And if the paring knife goes in easily and comes out easily, bait and feel the tip, and that should be very warm, hot, and it depends on the ease whether how it goes in and comes out to when your baked potato is done.
Okay, all right.
And because if it's raw in the center, you'll know it because your knife will. You know, you probably pull the whole potato out because it's stuck on the tip of your knife.
Got it. So if it slides in, slides out, that means we're in the front row.
Yes.
All right. Kim, we got to take a break.
Wait a minute. Okay, I have a special way to cut your baked potato if we have time, or we can pick it up after the break.
No, we'll do it right now. How do you cut a baked potato, Kim?
We call it pooching.
Pooching. Poaching.
And you take your paring knife, you cut it lengthwise down the top to about a half an inch or so, depending on the size, inch to a half an inch from the end. And then a quarter of the way in from the end, you cut across like a lacing in a football.
Right.
You cut one across on each end.
Right.
About an inch from that end of the tip. And then you take your fingers and you press down and in towards your fingers, and the potato will open up and it will give you a lot of surface to put your sour cream and butter or chives, bacon, salt, and pepper. But that's called pooching, and that's a very unique trick when you do a baked potato and you're a serious baked potato eater.
And what it does is it really, as Kim said, it gives you more area to put butter and sour cream and chives.
Yeah, to load it up, baby. And I forgot some people like grated cheese on there, too.
Whatever. Whatever. You throw whatever you want. You throw, say, you can throw a can of Alpo on top of that thing, okay? It's all good.
And then you don't, you know, if you have bacon bits, you don't need anything but a baked potato and a salad. There you go.
And let me tell you, so it's, you take the potato, you dump a little olive oil in one hand, you smear it all over the potato, you then dump some kosher salt in the same hand, and then you rub it with both hands and you spread that around. You get it with both ends with a paring knife, and you put it in the oven, and you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
So think about it. Salad, that, and then go grill the steak. And you just made a great meal that tastes absolutely delicious, and it's no work at all. No work at all.
It really isn't.
No, it's not. It's less. Come on. Yeah, it's less. And as you said, if you baked potato and salad, there's a meal right there.
Yes, it is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 4 minutes more of Allman Radio. The cooking segment designed to get you to the weekend in a happy state of mind. Coming up next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of Allmarine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Friday, Pacific Coast time.
Yeah, baby.
Booker T and the MGs.
Yeah.
Just in case you've never heard it.
A beautiful Friday afternoon in a semi-chilly downtown Grand Forks.
That's in North Dakota, for those of you who don't know.
Yes.
That's the epicenter of Kim's life. He wasn't born or raised there. He just wound up there.
It was my choice on the witness protection program. It was either Hawaii or North Dakota, and I said, "Oh God, nobody will find me in North Dakota."
There you go.
So here I am, freezing my ass with no tan. It's great here. I love it here.
Hey, the cold keeps the riffraff out. Something like that. They're all out here in California, man. California, San Diego's got a homeless thing going. They've got a hepatitis outbreak among homeless people. So,
oh no.
Yeah, not good. Not good. It's an issue in warm weather climates where you can be outside more. So, here's a question for you, Mac. I've heard the chef talk about grilling fish with skin on. Is there anything that he does to prepare the rest of the fish? I've heard people do kind of a flour, but only when they're going to flip the fish. I don't know how that would respond. So if you're not going to flip this fish and you're going to grill it with the skin on, what does he do with the sunny side up portion of the fish to give it a little bit extra flavor? Interesting little question there. Yeah.
Well, you're just going to use one side of the one skin, one side. You can make a rub of herbs, garlic, a little oil, hold everything in like a paste, and you rub that on the fish side, and you can rub some on the skin side too, but mainly on the fish side, and that'll seep into the fish a little bit and give it a nice crust and some great flavor.
Okay. All right, but so it's essentially you can make your own little paste, if you will, and interesting.
You know, for example, say you have some well disused salmon, for example. You put a little teriyaki, a little bit of in a dish, a little bit of oil, and you mix that together, and you put in a little salt, a little pepper, a little garlic, and maybe a little bit of hoisin sauce.
Ooh, whatever that
which
is.
Which is, it's a Chinese kind of like sweet sauce that it's kind of like honey in texture.
Okay.
And you mix all that together, and then you brush that on your salmon. And it stays put because of the hoisin sauce. It doesn't run off
fish.
Or you can use honey if you so desire. And a little lemon juice. You're only stopped by your imagination, and the things you like, the flavors you like, you create your own. That's the beauty of cooking at home. If you have something out at dinner one night, then you get your ass up, you go back and says, "Chef, how did you make that sauce? Or can you give me some kind of idea of how you did that sauce?" And most chefs don't have monster, well, they all have egos, but the good ones will tell you exactly what they did. They know you don't probably have a commercial kitchen at home, so it's not going to taste the same.
Right.
When you're cooking with 15,000 BTU gas stove as opposed to their 30,000 BTUs.
Right.
So, you know, but all chefs should give out the recipes. You don't have to give your secret cake recipe or something. But like sauces, sure. But get an idea. Create what you like. On fish, you can always.
Okay, so let me give you an example. One of the tastes I really like is teriyaki. Okay.
Yes.
How do I take? Do I go look for a teriyaki glaze? Do I reduce teriyaki marinade? What do you recommend? I mean, because that's a pretty generic one and a pretty popular one. How would I create something teriyaki to put over the top of, you know, whether it be salmon or walleye or some type of fish that I would grow?
Halibut, swordfish.
Yeah, you name it.
All those.
Ribeye.
Sea bass. All take teriyaki really well. But also in there, say, we'll take a bottle of Kikkoman teriyaki sauce.
Okay.
And you pour it in a dish.
Right.
And you put a little bit of honey in there, or, like I said, hoisin. That's A-O-S-I-N is how that's spelled.
A-O-S-I-N.
H-O-S-I-N, hoisin. And maybe you want a little heat, so you take that dry Chinese mustard that they mix with water, or I used to mix it with beer to make a mustard for my hot dog. But anyway, let's go back to fish.
Yeah.
But you take one of those two things, honey or hoisin sauce, with your kikkoman. You don't need olive oil. And you just whip all that up in a little dish and then brush it on or rub it on with your fingers. There you go. And if you want garlic, you can crush it.
No, I don't want it. I don't want any garlic in my teriyaki.
That's all.
Hoisin is Hoisin. Hoisin sauce.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Sin. Yeah, that's right.
That'll do it on a Friday, big timer. Wow. Where did the hour go?
Okay. Thank you very much.
No, that was we just started like 5 minutes ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we didn't.
All right.
But yeah, that's a good a great question to finish with.
Yeah. No. Teriyaki is a great taste. I just had. A friend of mine just gave me some beef jerky that was soft beef jerky with teriyaki for my birthday. He used to steal, like, I would go buy food because sometimes, given what we did, we couldn't get away to eat and things like that. So you'd be looking for, so I would go buy club crackers and peanut butter and jelly, and I'd put it in this drawer that he and I kind of shared. And I'd come back the next day. And it's like 7/8 of it's gone. And I'd look and I'd say, like, what the hell happened? He'd like, Mac, got intense in here last night. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
I looked. There was the only thing intense was like the clock ticking. Like, oh yeah, well maybe, but I got hungry. And so.
And you, with that mixture, you can also marinate your fish or steaks. In that mixture, too.
We like to marinate.
Up to 12 hours if you want.
All right, sir. Well, first of all, have a nice day. What's the weather like up in North Dakota today?
It's in the 20s now. It's kind of warm. Cloudy today. Sun's coming out. It's going to be 35 on Sunday.
Whoa.
Virtual heat wave.
There you go. That's kind of, it's kind of early in the year for you guys to be cold, isn't it?
No, it's usually much colder and much earlier. So, nobody's complaining here.
Got it. All right, man. You have a good day. I will talk to you in a little bit.
Thank you.
That is the All Marine Radio head chef, P. Kimball Holmes, here on a Friday edition. Let me just tell you, his baked potato to die for. Yeah. Absolutely to die for. I remember the first time I had it, I was like, what'd you do to this thing? He said, it's a secret. And, but again, you can't help but eat the whole thing because the skin is delicious, right? So I've learned how to do it, but, clean the potato, olive oil, kosher salt, and you come off like a champion. Yeah. And it's literally no work at all. No work at all. And just great taste. And then you load that thing up. Batman baked potato. All right, we're going to take a break. The Gunner joins us next here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.